And we're back on the KYMN Morning Show. We do have an in-studio guest. It's our state representative from District 20B. It's Todd Lippert. Todd,
good morning. Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Good to be here.
The first week of the legislative session is now not quite in the books. You still have a day left, but let's go back to Monday. Well, everything that opening day, everybody brings cookies and cake and treats and everybody's kumbaya. And it got off to kind of a start like that, which, I suppose everyone's, it kind of reminds you of the humanity of everyone, I guess.
Yeah. You know, the governor brought in some bars. He was there, and it was a nice gesture, and it was actually really nice. We had most everyone was on the floor, and we were masked, of course, but... it was good to have people together. It felt like we were getting off to a normal start, and had a good first day. No one was taking any shots at one another, and got off to a good start this week. I've been saying it's been minimal drama, and so I think we're off and rolling.
The not a whole lot of rhetoric coming out the first week, not a whole lot of news coming out of the legislature for the first week, and I suppose that can be anticipated. The drama will come, I'm sure,
at some point. Yeah.
But what are the things that you have actually been working on and got accomplished this week?
So we passed a significant bill off the House floor last night. We passed an extension for workers' compensation for people with COVID-19, for frontline workers. So what this means is in April of 2020, as the pandemic was just starting, we recognized that frontline workers, police, firefighters, healthcare workers, childcare workers, were in danger of getting COVID-19 on the job and should be eligible for workers' compensation when that happens. And so we passed a law that allowed for that. And 22,000 frontline workers have benefited from this since April of 2020. And on average, if someone wasn't going into the hospital, they were getting a benefit of about $1,000. If they were getting needed medical care, on average they'd receive a benefit of about $9,000. So this was a significant benefit for frontline workers. But the law sunset at the end of 2021, December 31st. COVID-19 is still a reality. Frontline workers, police, fire, healthcare workers are still responding to people who have COVID-19. 65 to 70 frontline workers on average in Minnesota are getting COVID-19 every day in January, as this law wasn't in place. So a House DFL pushed to extend this law to get frontline workers covered again and able to receive workers' compensation for COVID-19, getting that on the job. We pushed the Senate. They passed it as well yesterday. We pushed the Workers' Compensation Board that handles this, both business leaders and union leaders. And then we passed it off the House floor last night, too. So we're able to get this law signed today, we're expecting, and get those frontline workers covered again.
All right. Now, there are people out there that are saying, hey, look, some of those healthcare workers in particular, we've got a huge shortage of them. Everywhere you go, whether it be hospitals or nursing homes or elder care or anything like that, everybody's looking for employees. Was it part of the discussion that, hey, we need these people to work and not get any more unemployment? Was that brought up?
So that wasn't a part of the conversation. It is a part of the general conversation, which mm-hmm. is how do we make sure we can recruit and retain workers? And one of the biggest things we can do to be retaining workers is providing good benefits, to making sure that workers feel like when I'm putting myself out there, putting myself and my family at risk, that the state is with me too, that my neighbors are with me too. And so we know that this benefit's been seen as important, it's been important, and extending it will help our healthcare workers feel like, the state has my back and my neighbors care about what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, and both House and Senate passed that. So, yeah, they do.
Yeah, so, showing. We had a good bipartisan showing of supporting mm-hmm. frontline workers and appreciating the work they're doing for us during the pandemic. And that's a good start for our session.
All right. What else did you do this week?
So the significant proposal that's starting to make its way through House committees is our public safety proposal. And we had a couple heartbreaking public safety incidents in Minnesota this last week. Amir Locke was shot by police, African-American man in Minneapolis, and Jamiri Rice was shot in a shooting outside of Richfield High School. Both heartbreaking situations. just showing us the holistic approach we need to take to address public safety. So we have a $100 million proposal doing a few different things. One is supporting community safety grants, so supporting those organizations that are really trying to prevent violence before it starts. We have $40 million for that, $20 million for community policing programs. So we know that police need to be helping rebuild relationships with communities of color, so there's more trust there, and we want to be supporting those efforts. There are other efforts that are important, too, that we're working on, making sure that we're supporting response on mental health, helping more areas do things like Rice County is going to be doing soon or has just started, which is embedding a social worker with police. Rosemount has seen big gains with that, and Rice County's following suit. We want to be able to support those sorts of moves. Beefing up mental health crisis response teams is something that's important, too. I've been having a lot of conversations about that. In Dakota County, they have one available all the time. The response team that covers Rice County is actually in Mankato, so it's not quite as close by. We need to make sure that rural areas have access to these sorts of things, too. And then, you know, if we're going to be reducing gun violence, we have to do something about guns. And DFL is working on universal background checks, red flag laws, basic measures we can take to keep guns out of the hands of those who are going to do harm to others and to themselves. And we need to make progress on these sorts of efforts.
So where is this legislation at right now? Is that passed through the House?
It's just starting to be vetted in committee. Okay. So there was my colleague, Cedric Frazier, who's taking the lead on this and doing excellent work, is making that made the presentation in the Public Safety Committee. It's going to start moving through different committees. You know, we want Minnesotans to know that the DFL is taking public safety very seriously. We want everyone to be safe and feel safe in their communities, regardless of what they look like or where they live. And we're, you know, taking a wide-angle lens look at this, a holistic approach, and really want to be thorough about this.
Let's talk about next week. You've got the weekend today, and, of course, next week before we talk to you again, what's on the agenda? What's it looking like?
So next week, committees will be starting to hear bills. I have a few pieces of legislation that have been submitted, have been introduced, and there's one that it's kind of first in line. It may get a hearing this next week. It's on related to tree planting. So I want to plant a tree for every Minnesotan. So 5.7 million trees planted in each of the next 4 years. It's a big part of our House Climate Action Caucus proposal. Do a few things. Help communities respond to the losses of emerald ash borer. So replace those trees. Help homesteads rebuild windbreaks around, around different farms, living snow fences, these sorts of things. We know that planting trees is a significant way to sequester carbon, and sequestering with planting trees or climate-friendly farming practices, these sorts of natural climate solutions, we can do. If we were doing that nationwide, we could do as much as taking every car off the road as far as reducing climate emissions. And Minnesota is a big opportunity for that. So this is a significant proposal for planting trees. I'll be talking with my colleagues about that. I've been working with Environment Chair Rick Hansen on it. And so we'll get a hearing on that soon. Speaker's excited about it. She loves planting trees and knows that's a simple thing we can do that can make a big difference on climate. So that conversation will be starting to move next week.
All right. State Representative Todd Lippert, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else you wanted to pass along while we're here?
No, just glad to be here providing these updates. Folks can reach out to my office, send me an email at rep.todd.lippert@house.mn or follow me on Facebook or Twitter. But I want to know what you're thinking, so please reach out and talk to me. It's always good to start talking with constituents at the beginning of session.
All right. Todd, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
The State Representative Todd Lippert of District 20B. You're listening to The One. We'll be back with Northfield Public Librarian Natalie Draper coming up next.